Love of the World. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In discussing this subject, I shall pursue the following order. 1. What we are to understand by the love of the world. 2. Who love the world in this sense? 3. That they do not love God. 1. What we are to understand by the love of the world. 1. Negatively, the love of the world here spoken of is not every kind or degree of desire for worldly objects. God has constituted us that a certain amount and certain kinds of worldly objects are indispensable to our existence. We need food and raiment, implements of husbandry and trade, and various worldly things, the proper desire of which is not sinful, nor inconsistent with the love of God. But to love the world is to make worldly things the principal objects of desire and pursuit. To love them and desire them more than to love God and man, to be more anxious to obtain them and spend more time in their acquisition than in efforts to glorify God and save the souls of men, is to love the world in the sense of the text. Where the love of God and of men is supreme in the heart, there may be a suitable desire for worldly objects, but where an individual manifests a disposition to give the acquisition of wealth or of worldly objects the preference, and aims rather at obtaining worldly things than at glorifying God and of doing good to men, it is certain that the love of the world is supreme in his heart. 2. Who do this? 1. All who cheat and defraud to obtain the things of the world. That a man will cheat and defraud his neighbor, does not love him as he does himself, is too manifest to require proof. That a man who will disobey God for the purpose of obtaining worldly goods does not love God supremely is self-evident. Nay, that he loves the things of the world supremely is simply a matter of fact. 2. All those whose anxieties and cares are mostly about worldly things. If they are more careful for the things of the world, more anxious and earnest in the pursuit of them than in glorifying God, and in doing good to men, they love the world supremely. Objection. But do any of you ask, may not a man be anxious to obtain worldly things for the purpose of doing good with money? I answer, a man may be desirous to obtain money for the purpose of glorifying God with it, but in that case, the principal anxiety, care, and desire would not terminate upon the acquisition of money, but upon the end which he hoped to accomplish through its instrumentality. To suppose that a man, whose supreme object is to glorify God and do good to man, should concern himself principally about worldly things, is the same absurdity as to suppose that he was more anxious about the means than about the end which he hoped to accomplish by those means. It is the end that gives value to the means. It is the end that is the main object of thought and of desire. And to suppose that a man's anxieties and cares would cluster about the means of effecting the end, rather than about the end itself, is plainly absurd and impossible. Suppose a gentleman was engaged to be married, and has commenced a journey for that purpose. His heart is greatly set upon the end he has in view. And is it likely that either the delights or cares of his journey will occupy more of his thoughts and absorb more of his affections than the object for which he has undertaken the journey? Who does not know that in such a case, if his heart was greatly set upon the obtaining of his bride, he would pass from stage to stage without being hardly conscious of the incidents that occurred in his progress? His bride and his marriage would fill up his thoughts by day and be the subject of his dreams by night, and all his cares and desires that the stages and steamboats should convey him more rapidly would be for the more speedy accomplishment of his heart's desire. And now, shall a man who loves God supremely and whose desire for money and for worldly goods is that he may glorify God and benefit mankind thereby, can he be so anxious and so busy about the means as to lose sight of the end, that his interest in the end to be accomplished is swallowed up in efforts to obtain the means? This cannot be. And now I appeal to the two classes of persons already mentioned, you that practice fraud, and take advantage of the ignorance of men, and overreach, and cheat them in little or great things. Do you pretend to love God? If so, you are an arrant hypocrite. And you, who are filled with cares about worldly things, whose time and thoughts and affections are swallowed up in the efforts to obtain them, know assuredly that you love the world, and that the love of God is not in you. Third, all those who consult only their own interest in the transaction of business. God requires you to love your neighbor as yourself. Again he says, let everyone look not upon his own things, but upon the things of others. Let everyone seek not his own, but another's wealth. These are express requirements of God. They are the very spirit and substance of the gospel. Benevolence is a desire to do good to others, a willingness to deny self for the purpose of promoting the interest of your neighbor, is the very spirit of Christ. It is the heart and soul of the gospel. Now, suppose a man, in his bargains with others, aims only at promoting his own interest. He seeks not another's, but his own wealth. He looks not to the welfare of others, but his eye and his heart are upon his own side of the bargain. He does not aim at benefiting the individual with whom he transacts business. His only object is to take care of himself. This is the very opposite of the spirit of the gospel. Does this man love his neighbor as himself? Does he love that God supremely who has prohibited all selfishness on pain of eternal death? No! If he loved God, he would not disobey him for the sake of making money. If he loved his neighbor as himself, if he felt it was more blessed to give than to receive, if he had the spirit of the gospel, he would of course feel and manifest as great a desire for the interest of those with whom he deals as for his own interest. He would be as anxious to give as to get a good bargain. Nay, he would be more so. Self-denial to promote the happiness and the interest of others would be his joy, would constitute his happiness, would be that to which he would be inclined, of course. And now, let me ask you who are here present, can you deny this principle? What then is your spiritual state? Have you the love of God in you? How do you transact business? Do you consult the interest of those with whom you deal as much as you do your own? Or, in all your bargains, do you aim simply at securing a profit to yourself? If you do, the love of God is not in you. You have not the beginning of piety in your heart.